The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Step of the stages of breathing. I'd like to offer you a contemplative question. This is a question which you don't have to think about an answer. You might if you want. But rather let the question drop into you. Be open, receptive. Almost like it's being dropped into the center of your being. And see what responds to the question. There might be an answer in response that wells up from within. There might be some emotional response. Many things are possible. But let the contemplative question drop into your contemplative space and see what happens. And if you want, you can repeat the question to yourself a few times. So in preparation for the question, you might take a few breaths where you exhale and let go into, or let go towards some of the deepest places of peace or well-being that you know that can exist within you. You let go and quiet your thinking mind so you can feel your way into some depth of peace or stillness, well-being within. Maybe intuiting some inner depth within you. And into that depth, I drop this question. What would be wise for you to let go of? What would be wise for you to let go of? What would be wise for you to relinquish? The last step of the 16 stages is to observe relinquishment. And relinquishment is little different than letting go. Relinquishment is to have the wisdom to know that one is finished with something. And one lets it go of it because it no longer serves, no longer is valuable, no longer is healthy. And one really sees that one no longer stands behind or is interested in certain behavior or way of being. And one feels quite ready, not just to let go momentarily, but to be done with something. What is it that would be wise for you to relinquish? So the 16 steps of breathing that the Buddha taught, I didn't expect you to have learned what those are exactly during the course of today. But it is a journey to be taken, and perhaps one way place of seeing that the journey begins is in a mind filled with thoughts, kind of claustrophobic with thoughts. And part of the function of focusing attention on breathing is to break the spell or the trance or the strong pull into the world of thinking so that our energies or attention or things don't just constantly slip into that thought stream. We come out someplace else, we're thinking and concentrating thinking, and then the energy of attention doesn't go into feeding thoughts, but goes into feeding attention, getting concentrated. And that paradoxically, I don't know if it's paradoxically, but that also then creates, rather than having a claustrophobic mind, creates lots of space in the mind, lots of room in the mind. And as the mind has more room, attention, awareness has more room, it sees more clearly. And awareness has a chance to settle, or we have a chance to settle into that field of awareness. And there's a greater and greater subtleness, and also a greater ability to see all kinds of things that we can't see very well when we're caught up in thoughts. For one thing, we can see the nature of thoughts themselves. We can see how they work, how we get caught by them, how they push us around, and all kinds of things we can see about the nature of thoughts. And so rather than relating to the content of thoughts, we begin to relate to the process by which we're involved in thinking and find ourselves freer and freer of that process of thinking and not caught in its web. And so the 16 stages or steps are kind of a process of deepening and deepening into stillness, but even more important the stillness and concentration into ability to observe and see more and more deeply what's going on here within our experience. And at some point, to be able to have some qualitative experience of our usual attachments, preoccupations, fears, worries, distresses, sufferings, somehow, one way or the other, stop. It might be very momentary. We see a gap, and through the gap, we get a glimpse of another possibility. It could be that it stops for minutes at a time, or maybe for an hour or two or longer. That something really kind of that bothered us, we were caught up in. Maybe we didn't even know we were caught up in it. We didn't even know we were bothered. But when things really stop, we see, wow, it's like the refrigerator going off. I didn't know it was on. Wow. And to have a qualitatively experience or insight or observation or intuition of a way of being that's free of what we're attached to, free of what we're caught in, can be life-changing to know that's possible. We don't have to continue necessarily as business as usual. And that with that, the Buddha uses the word relinquishment. Then I think of it's not clear what he actually meant by this, but the way that I find it valuable to think of, that letting go is one thing. If you do a lot of Buddhist practice, you learn to let go. You know, you let go and it comes back. There's a whole other thing to let go with real understanding, to have this wisdom that you relinquish because you really understand that you don't stand behind this behavior anymore. You're not into it. You're not fooled by it. You don't see it valuable anymore. You see it's not healthy. And there's a really clear, like almost like a decision. I'm tired of this. I'm done with this. Enough with this. And that can be a wide variety of things. One of the strongest things in my early practice, years of practice, that I came up against like this was a tremendous amount of self-centered thinking I had. So how much of my thought was I don't know if self-centered is the right word, but self-preoccupied, self-concerned. And this swirl of being caught up in myself and self-image and how people saw me, I saw the limitations of that. And seeing the limitations of it, at some point I felt, I'm done with this. And I had the wisdom to know this is what I should relinquish, but I didn't know how. And it took a while for it to still kind of to fade away, and the particular quality of what I had then to stop. But coming to this point where I knew better, this is not what I'm behind anymore. Before my practice, I didn't even know it was an issue. As I practiced deepened, I saw this is an issue. I don't want this. I'm not into this anymore. I'm not behind it. Let go of it. So that's a journey. And meditation practice is a journey. It's an unfolding. It's a slow step-by-step that goes deeper and deeper, or fuller and fuller, or whatever way your metaphors are. But it takes an ongoing practice, and day in, day out. And I want to thank you all for coming here to spend this day practicing this way. I don't take it as a idle thing or a coincidental thing or a small thing that people come and do this kind of practice for a day and engage with themselves. It's not easy to sit here and face your mind and be with yourself and over this kind of situation. But it's very profound and wonderful thing you do. And you do it, don't you do it for yourself, you do it for the world around you. And I hope that as you leave here today, that you give some active thought, consideration of how, if there's anything that was beneficial for you here today, can you somehow share that with the people you encounter over the next period of time? Whether it's strangers on the street, or places in your neighborhood, or places of work, or wherever you go, that somehow that your practice and your dedication, your sincerity is being done so that you can be a more generous, kinder, loving person for the people that you encounter. May it be that the goodness of us practice today spreads outwards and touches many, many people to promote happiness and freedom for all beings. So thank you for coming. And it's the custom here at IMC